Well, I haven't done this in a long time, but we are going to take a look at the wisdom that MSN.com has to offer us. I picked on CNN a lot, but this one takes the cake because there's an article that wants to tell you, and this is by Fortune, I guess, drawn, but CNN plastered this on their homepage, why to tell you that there are three reasons why the average American may be worse off than Greece. I can't believe it. There, you have it so much worse than the Greeks do. Don't you know that? That's because we do not have the same kind of policies that they have. We have not tried that great experiment of socialism yet in this nation. We're already halfway there. Heck, we already are there. But why Americans? I have reason to say we're worse off than Greece. Here, I'm going to read you the idiocy here. Here we go. Americans actually have more debt relative to income earned. Between its government and its banks, Greece owes 323 billion euros to creditors, and its debt to income, which is GDP, by the way, if you didn't know that, is 177%. In other words, Greece owes 1.77 euros for every euro it earns. The average U.S. household, by comparison, owed $204,992 in mortgages, credit cards, and student loans. By the way, might I add that is probably because more people in America are homeowners than in Greece, and that makes us worse off. The debt-to-income ratio is 370%, which the article can do mathematics here, because it says that is much worse than Greece. 370% compared to 177%. Oh, yes, that number is higher. I have a brain. I could determine that, too. But that's number one. And they shoot themselves in the foot, but I guess they just don't realize it here, because they say the average U.S. household, by comparison, owed $204,992 in mortgages. Well, there you go. The debt-to-income ratio, there you go. Because there are more homeowners in Greece. I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. Homeowners in America than in Greece. But apparently that's a bad thing. Because remember, nothing's yours anymore. It's all the government's. So let's look at reason number two. Greece's debt can be wiped out, but not yours. Oh, so now that's a good thing that we should want. We should want our debt to be wiped out. We should want our creditors to pull their hair out. And we should want global economies to collapse by simply defaulting on everything that we owe. I love the terminology of this article. If Greece gets rescued, its debt will likely be restructured or forgiven. And if not, and it exits the Eurozone, it will have the option to default on its debts to outside lenders, including the European Central Bank and the International Monetary Fund, since it won't need them to support its economy anymore. Well, you know, there is a way that you can do that. It's called bankruptcy. Now, the one thing that they may have is that student loans will not be forgiven if you declare bankruptcy or restructured or any. They are exempt. Did you know that? That's one way maybe Greece has it a little better than we do, but so Greece's debt can be wiped out. So apparently that's a good thing. Forget about all the consequences that could have on the global economy. Forget about all the consequences that's going to have on the euro and Europe. They can have their debt forgiven, completely wiped away. But not yours. Oh, okay, all right. Well, let's look at the last reason here. Greece can print money, but you can't. This is the economic advice from MSN.com. I usually do this with CNN, but I couldn't ignore this one today. Greece can print money, but you can't. Well, you know, thank you for telling me something that I already knew. Regardless of the outcome of the Greek financial drama, let's look at the basics. Okay, what are the basics here? The primary reason for Greece... I'm reading this article, by the way. This is where this lunacy is coming from. The primary reason for Greece to exit the euro would be the near insolvency of its banks. In times of crisis, banks need money to be propped up. Without outside aid, they can collapse. Greece can't print euros since it's a joint currency controlled by the eurozone. So if it can't reach a deal with lenders, it would have to adopt a new currency, the drachma. With its own currency, it can print money, which then enables it to sustain its banking system. Even though the drachma may be worth near nothing. You know, there's a... Because, you know what? If you just defaulted on your debts, how much am I going to want? Your money. You just defaulted and said you couldn't pay back all these things because of a broken socialist system that eventually runs out of other people's money. And now you're going to print your own money again and exit the Eurozone, which is absolutely ludicrous, by the way, because of the effects it will have not just on the rest of the world, but on Greece. They just don't want to come to terms with it. Heck, Greece spoke with the referendum. They just don't want it. They just don't want it at all. So, but apparently, though, the article poignantly describes that that luxury is not available to you and I. We cannot print our own money. See, I guess if I wanted to and I felt like the dollar, because I was just in so much debt with the dollar, I felt, you know what? Forget the dollar. Just forget it. I'm not going to give my dollars back that I owe to anyone. I'm going to create my own currency. They're called Michaels. Here you go. Forget the fact that they're worth absolutely nothing. And so apparently we are worse off than Greece. And it's because of all these reasons, because they could print money and we can't, which just, you know, not to say it's insane, makes you live in your own little world, but, you know, Greece's debt can be wiped out, but not yours. Oh, well, they could do that too, I guess. Oh. They could just completely wipe out their debt. Doesn't care what the creditors think. Don't care what Germany or Europe or even the United States or China or, you know, global markets around the world. Oh, we don't care. We're gonna default. You know? Forget the consequences. Even though Greeks can only take out 60 euros a day, we've got it worse here in the United States. Even though I think that number is now 20, isn't it? 20 euros a day? I mean, it's insane. It's chaos in Greece. Three reasons why the average American may be worse off than Greece. Sorry, I don't have time for this. Not anymore. I don't think you have time for this either. But this is what's being fed to us by a lot of mass media. Well, there you have it. I had to point out that one. I had to point it out today. I could not ignore that because apparently we are just plummeting. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening in this nation that I do not agree with and that absolutely grieve my heart, like the Supreme Court's ruling. But we still, believe it or not, we still have it much better here in the good old US of A than many other nations around the world, most certainly Greece. But again, that's the financial wisdom from MSN. You know, I don't know if I would necessarily make my stock choices with MSN.com, but that was from MSN.com. So just so that you know, now you know the rest of the story. Just to pull a little bit there from, well, you don't know where that's from. You'd be able to figure that one out. Mike Levins here. You could call in, by the way, at 610-539-TALK. 610-539-8255, the number to call. Baltimore mayor, yeah, she's fired the police commissioner. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, let's find out what it is. Why in the world is this happening? Baltimore making headlines yet again. This is a Fox News article. The Baltimore mayor fired the troubled city's police commissioner Wednesday, saying that a recent spike in homicides weeks after an unarmed black man died of injuries in police custody, we all know that story, required a change in leadership. And I don't know how the next police commissioner is going to be so enthusiastic about their job working for Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, but she thanked Commissioner Anthony Batts for his service, and she thanked him by firing him. But said growing criticism of his leadership had become a, quote, distraction that was preventing the city from moving ahead. Deputy Police Commissioner Kevin Davis, who's only been with the department since January, will serve as interim commissioner, Rawlings Blake said. Quote, we need a change. Well, I've heard that before. This is not an easy decision, but it is one that is in the best interest of Baltimore. The people of Baltimore deserve better, and we're going to get better. Oh, okay. Well, you see how that happens now. Now that all your police officers are afraid to enforce the law. You think this issue is just having to do with the police commissioner. Your police officers are afraid to enforce the law because they may be convicted for doing their job. Of course, you know, every investigation is going to yield more facts, and every investigation, every case, every criminal case, every mishap, every death on the job as far as a police officer needs to be vetted out with the utmost scrutiny. But haphazardly convicting people because of public opinion and because of public concern and because of public calls for vengeance, that's not upholding the law.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
Tune in to WFYL every Saturday at noon to hear host Diane Kuczynski from Pampered Paws Pet Care PA and Jacques Schiller from Soap and Bean Pet Care discuss pet-related topics, stories, and issues related to pets. Listen in on interviews with local pet businesses and companies from the Philadelphia area.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
Start your own business today. Be Balanced Hormone Weight Loss Centers provides a unique opportunity to address a growing demand to help millions of women over the age of 35. The Be Balanced franchise has a patent-pending solution to lose stubborn weight, help women manage their mood and sleep issues that are all caused by hormonal shift. Visit BeBalancedFranchise.com or call 800-361-8060. That's 800-361-8060 to learn more and start your own business today.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
You ever just need a break from all these headlines from time to time? Well, I definitely do, and I think you do too. Mike Levins here at 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. We have our Spotlight segment today, and I'm very excited. I've been to this place before. Oh, my goodness. I believe I had the ice cream last time I was there before. And man, is it good. We are talking with Steve and Kelsey with Merrymead Farms. Now, they are one of the last independently owned, am I saying that right? Independently owned farms in the region. And you're family owned, family operated, your seasonal farm market, you're open year round providing in-season items like different flowers, produce, pumpkins, and even to Christmas trees. You're best known for your award-winning milk and premium ice cream, which, man, is it good. Right now, your featured summer flavor is cold brew coffee. However, you have 32 flavors of ice cream available, and they join us now in studio. Welcome to the studio. It's great to have you guys here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks again.
Well, tell me a little bit about, so I've been to Merrymead Farms before. I absolutely love the ice cream. And I love, because you guys have cows, right? Like right there, if you pull into the parking lot, they're right there. You can actually see the cows, and they're like, you can almost reach out and touch them if you want. You know, just kind of grazing. Now, you guys are father and daughter doing this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm part of the third generation, so we're, like you said earlier, family-owned and operated. My dad's part of the second generation, and there's a few of us there that are part of the third generation. So it's all family in.
Well, Steve, you're the president of Merrymead Farms. What's it like running a farm?
It's interesting. I grew up in the Bryn Mawr area, and I've been up here about 40 years now. I married the farmer's daughter, and I've slowly progressed from, you know, doing all different jobs on the farm, and I've been the president probably the last 25 years or so. And it's interesting because, as Kelsey mentioned, it is a family farm. We probably have 10 family members involved in the business. And, you know, it's interesting. It's a family farm. We work in the community. We do a lot in the community. And we've become a place where it's not only our family farm, it's a community family farm. People grow up there. We see that the kids are there, their grandparents are there, and we see generations coming back, you know. The people that had kids, you know, 20, 30 years ago, when I was younger, my kids are young, they're now bringing their kids back and experience what their parents had experienced. So it's great. It's unique.
Now, Kelsey, when did you, because you're a manager now, Kelsey, mm-hmm. when did you become manager? Kind of, I mean, have you always been working at the farm or?
Yeah, I went off to college and went to school for education. But when I came back a few years ago, my husband and I settled in the area. So I started there full time after I'd gotten married, and there's my sister's there as well as a manager. But you know, there's a lot of responsibilities that do come with that title, and whether it's long hours or working weekends, it's say a well-deserved title, I think, in the end. But yeah, I think I've worked there since I was young, before I got paid, and then as I got older through the high school age, was working there part time and. Even on and off through college, we'd come home seasonally to help out on weekends when we could. And then just kind of decided that I enjoyed teaching, but I wanted to come back and help out with the family, and then decided to, for this point, stay there long term.
This is our, if you're just listening, by the way, welcome to the program. It's New Day on 1180 WFYL. You could call in at 610-539-TALK. Maybe you have a question for Steve and Kelsey here, but this is our spotlight segment of the program. We just like to promote a local business or organization or even a ministry, but who's really involved in the community and really has a lot to offer. Businesses are the backbone of our community. And this business, Merrymead, you guys have been in the area as a farm. I mean, when were you guys started? How long has Merrymead Farms been in operation for?
About 43 years ago. In 71, they opened up the store, the retail store. But it's been in the same family for over 100 years.
Right. Kelsey's right about that. The store, my father-in-law back in the late 60s, his family was growing. He had two choices, either expand the farm or make some changes. And farmland's really expensive in our area, so he really couldn't do that. So what he decided to do was actually homogenize and pasteurize our milk right there on the farm. And that was the start of the growth of the business in a different section. So we transformed the dairy farm into making ice cream. We've developed a bakery, we've developed the school tour business where we educate the people from A to Z about farm life and really what transpires and what happens on the farm on a daily basis.
So educate us a little bit this morning on farm life. What happens on a farm on a daily basis? I grew up in the South. I saw plenty of farms in my day, but tell me about farm life. What is it like?
Well, they start milking about 3 o'clock in the morning. So the barn's open at 3 o'clock where the cows get milked twice a day at 3 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The milk is processed and milked from the cow where it's then shipped up underground. It's pumped on the ground from the barn up to the store where it's processed 4 days a week there. And that time we make the ice cream as well. We make the milk. We make milk, chocolate milk, skim milk, buttermilk, all the milk products. And then on like 2 to 3 days a week, we then also make the ice cream. The store then closes at 10 o'clock at night. So essentially the business operates 20 hours a day. It's a lot of time. So that's why we need extra family members involved in the business. Kelsey said her and her sister are there. But at this time, right now, my two other boys, they're both teachers and they work for us on the farm. We do a lot of business with the Amish in Lancaster County, and they're out purveying different, you know, fresh tomatoes and onions and beets and things right now to bring back and sell to the local people today.
So those are the seasonal, those are the seasonal products that you have right now. So and that changes all throughout the year, obviously. So what else do you guys have right now?
Well, we recently just got out of the flower season. We still have a few beautiful hanging baskets left, but through Easter to Mother's Day and towards the end of the summer, we have annuals, perennials, and now we are in the produce season. We carry the fresh local produce. Eventually, we'll jump, which we're already thinking about, odd enough, but the fall time is coming up. Pumpkins, gourds, corn stalks with a lot of activities. So hay rides is a big thing, an attraction, and a huge 5-acre cornfield maze for everyone to go through. And then we always go into the Christmas season with trees and custom decorated wreaths and poinsettias. So again, year round, we're fully operating.
You know, you guys, your milk is actually award winning. There's a reason why your ice cream is so good. And again, I've been there and it's a great place. I absolutely loved it. Last time I was there, it was absolutely wonderful. But tell me a little bit, and we're gonna head to a break in just a little bit here. But tell me, is that why? How do you have award winning milk? I mean, tell me here, like what goes into that?
It's a proper care of the animals. Of every dairy farm in the United States, Murray Meat Farm has the lowest bacteria count and somatic cell count, and that's judged on a monthly basis by Penn State University, and on an annual basis. Gorge Dairyman picks the top farms in the country that produce the highest quality milk. You know, all our milk and products come only from our cows. It's not something that's shipped, you know, from north to south to east to west. And as I said, we're the closest working farm to Philadelphia. We have the cows. People have to stop and think when they talk about local, where's all the milk come from if there's no cows? It's shipped in from the south. It's shipped in from Wisconsin. When you go to the local grocery store, your milk's probably from either down south or up north as far as Wisconsin or something. It's all shipped. It's all pulled. Our stuff comes from our own cows. We milk them. We control what they eat and what they, the water and content and everything they have.
Well, I'm speaking with President Steve of Murray Meat Farms and Kelsey, who's manager over there, a father-daughter team working at Murray Meat Farms. Wonderful to have you guys with us this morning. We've got to head to a break. You're listening to 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. It's a new day with Mike Levins here. We will return right after this.
Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Confederate battle flag will no longer fly over the South Carolina Capitol, with members of the state House voting to take it down.
Debating more than 60 amendments left legislators like Jenny Anderson Horn in tears.
Take a symbol of hate off these grounds.
But even flag supporters would admit
our heritage with the flag that's out front has been hijacked.
20 representatives voted against moving it. Governor Nikki Haley is expected to sign it today.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. The Greek government is supposed to submit a bailout plan by the end of the day.
The Greek prime minister and his advisors working on a plan promising to reform the economy here in Greece, which will then be considered by European creditors. Does it go far enough to make them hand over bailout cash to keep Greece from bankruptcy?
Fox News Radio, Simon Owen in Athens. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Kids shut down when they don't feel like someone's listening to them. They shut down when they feel like someone doesn't care. And it puts parents in a real predicament because we think that it's the kids that are doing that. But I really believe this is where we are provoking them at times.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. There have been a lot of other shoes dropping since the Supreme Court ordered a redefinition of marriage in every corner of our nation. Calls for ending tax exemption for churches and other ministries are ringing loudly. And this past week, the ACLU called for repeal of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA, which they initially supported when it became federal law more than 20 years ago. Apparently, the ACLU is unhappy that the law was used to protect the conscience rights and religious liberty of the Christian owners of companies like Conestoga Wood Specialties and Hobby Lobby. It seems the ACLU is fine with the law protecting the rights of those in non-Christian religions, but it doesn't like it protecting a Christian's right to conscience. Frankly, I'm not surprised.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The book of Jude shouts God's warning to America. Certain people will sneak into the church, pretend to believe in God, but like Satan, deny the power of God and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, these religious but ungodly people will pursue egregious sexual immorality, defile the institution of marriage, detest moral authority, and fully corrupt themselves. Jude says these people, like clouds without rain, are ignorant and arrogant. In these times, Jude says to take heart, because the Lord Jesus himself will soon come with 10,000 angels and execute justice against all those who deny his authority. These mockers may sound bold, but they will fall before the justice of God. The command for us? Contend for the faith. Keep ourselves in the love of God and look for the mercy of God. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying with Jude, trust in God who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Welcome to the program, 1180 WFYL, Working for Your Liberty. Joining me, I have the president of Mary Mead Farms, Steve Quigley, and his daughter, Kelsey, who manages the operation. It is one of the oldest farms, one of the only farms left in Pennsylvania, and it's a great place where you could go and reminisce, and you could kind of take a trip back, maybe, if you actually grew up on a farm, or if you are on farm property and you want to know what it's like to be on a farm, well, you could do that and you could get some of the best milk and ice cream there as well. I've been there before, and if you've not tried Mary Mead Farms ice cream, then you have missed a major component this life has to offer. You must try their ice cream. They both join me now in studio. It's wonderful to have you both with us this morning on the program. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's go ahead and talk. You guys have just started a bakery at Mary Mead Farms, and many of people just went, oh, how am I going to be able to keep my diet now? So tell us about the bakery. What are you guys, that's relatively new. What are you guys doing over there?
Well, for years we've had a bakery. We actually just revamped it. So the country bakery is pumping out a lot of fresh quality, and I know it's swimsuit season, so it's a little tough to resist, but just after the holiday weekend, we were making fresh blueberry and strawberry pies. So although there's fruit involved, it's semi-healthy. But people going away for weekends, we encourage the sticky buns and shoe fly pies and all those things to be picked up to take with you, whether you're going down to the shore or up to the mountains. We're just a full table in there. So
Yeah, wonderful. Well, okay, so the bakery's not necessarily new, but you just renovated it.
Yeah.
Then. So
So
you got to take a look at that. Now, you guys have been in the area for years and years and years. You know, this actually is caught my interest a little bit here. We're talking about how your milk is award-winning. What you were saying that there is different content, bacteria content, has the lowest bacteria content, or explain that a little bit for me.
Yeah, the milk has the lowest bacteria count. The Penn State takes samples in the state of Pennsylvania where the milk is analyzed. They can tell, you know, how the cows are housed, how the cows are fed, what they're fed, and it's all part of the diet. As I said, and all the stuff is analyzed. It's sent across the country into a major networking system where all the records are kept. And each month they publish a document that says, you know, which cows and which farms classify on somatic cell count, because when you ship your milk to the large dairies, each truck sample is sampled as far as the bacteria count. If the bacteria count gets too high, they reject it because the milk won't stay, will stay fresh once you put it on the table. It sours rather quickly. But our count, I think the average count in the country is somewhere around 600,000. Our cows come in probably about 40,000, which is probably 10 times lower than the national average. And they said for the state of Pennsylvania, we've been probably the lowest probably the last 15 years.
So the best quality, and that's what makes it award-winning.
The highest quality milk, right. We can control what the cows eat. For those nursing mothers out there, they knew there's certain foods they can't eat, peppers and onions. And if they're nursing, all that flavor comes through in the milk, in their milk. The cows are the same way. Whatever the cows eat, it affects the freshness, the taste, and the quality of the milk that they drink. And we can control that because our milk only comes from our own cows. We control when they eat and, you know, before the milking process and the amount of water they get.
And, well, that does it right there. Well, you guys are involved in the community in a lot of ways. You were just telling me how it's not Christmas time. It is July. You can make the argument, okay, yeah, well, Christmas in July or something like that. But you guys have actually been doing a live nativity for years, and you have a lot of other different events that you guys do in the community. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, our big season is the fall harvest days, and like he said, it is family-owned and operated, but we do have a lot of people that bring their families in the month of October, and they've been coming for years. Hay rides, face painting, pumpkins, and along with our apple cider donuts, which are made fresh daily. After that kind of sizzles down, we work our way into the Thanksgiving time. So we have our turkeys that we sell and lots and lots and lots of pies, pumpkin, apple, and a huge selection. But then we also think about Christmas. We know we said Christmas trees and wreaths that we have, but usually the weekend, and it's the weekend before Christmas, we have the live nativity that our church, our local church that we go to, Cornerstone Church of Skipack, we put on a production for the community, and we do on Saturday and Sunday evening. We have three shows, and it brings the community together, because after, you know, the school year started, and then you start thinking about the Christmas season, and it gives everyone just time to reflect. And even that event itself, we have people that have been coming for years. We've been doing it for, since almost the store's been open, 30 some odd years, just encouraging people to remember why we do celebrate Christmas and, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the reason for the season, and he is alive, and the songs that the angels sing, and we get the community involved out there in the bleachers. We have the carolers like bring everybody in, and it's just kind of that sombering moment on the barn bridge where people just kind of reflect. And it's a great production, good teamwork with the family. They do a lot of prep, getting the barn ready with the creche, and again with the church, people volunteering their time to do that for the community.
Well, you guys, I mean, tell me a little bit. I mean, Steve, have you been working at Marymead Farms again?
About 41 years, probably.
So you've probably seen your fair share of community events. I mean, tell us some of the things that you guys have done throughout the years.
Well, we've always tried to be good stewards and in the agriculture community and the local community itself. You know, we've lent ourselves years ago to there were open farm days where we'd encourage the local politicians to come into the farm, and we'd have a chicken barbecue and show them about farm life and what's happening in the agriculture community. And those things have passed by. That you know, the ruralness of our local community in our county has shrunk, and we've forgotten some of the core values that we once enjoyed as a country. That being said, we've been a learning, a training ground for so many local kids over the years that we've been their first job, and that's interesting. You know, with the divorce rate so high in the country anymore. My wife has hired the people probably for the last 45 years on the farm and trained them and, you know, guided them as far as the what needs to be done and what's really important in life and how to do things and how to be responsible. So that's really one of the keys to us. And the interesting is that when we have the people that worked for us years ago, their kids come back, they encourage their grandkids to come back and work for us. I think for the value system and the family operation that we run, that their parents enjoyed it and they wanted their kids to experience the same learning experience. And I guess the atmosphere that we run our family business, and that's one of the biggest things. But we do all kinds of things. We involve them in parades and functions, you know, the Alex Lemonade Stand, anything that people need to use our farm for. We try to stay with political venues, because if you have to do the one side, you have to do the other, and everyone's arguing and screaming with you. But I think we try to stand on our Christian values, and I think be a guide for the community and what we stand for in our values.
You know, you could get so discouraged by the headlines that pass by us every day. And they change and they get worse. They don't seem to get better. We could get so discouraged by that. And it is very discouraging. But if we remember, and this is the one thing that I'm going to talk about until the day that I am buried in the ground, the one thing that is an answer for all of our problems, and we as a church need to realize this too, the one thing that we need to realize is the answer for everything, just like as the answer for everything is preached on Sunday mornings, is Jesus Christ. He's the answer for our nation. He's the answer for our problems that we face individually, problems we may have in our families, in our businesses. He touches every area of our life. And if we try to separate that, then we're going to fall woefully short of what he has for us. And he is not going to let that go easily, especially if we follow him. He is the only thing that's going to change our nation, you know, the current state of it. You guys live on a farm. You're just talking about how you have traditional values, how you're seeing those be eroded. What do you find that you're holding on to day in and day out? I'm sure the world is changing around you. Very much.
Family. I mean, you know, we had some troubles in the business years ago, and I guess our creed become our faith, our family, and our friends, the three major things you have. If you have those things in life, you're really rich. Family is so important. And as Kelsey said, you know, we're going on the third generation involved in the business, and, you know, to have 10 family members involved in a small family business where you work day in and day out, that's important, the bond you have. And you know, the grandkids are around as well, and that's the biggest thing. I think family. Family is the core value that, you know, you depend on, and that's what, in generations before, the values that you have, that you got from your grandparents, you got from your parents, and you instilled on people. And I think that's the biggest thing anymore, is just being with one another, sharing the things, having family time, which we as society tend to get away from anymore.
Well, that idea of family and being able to be with family is godly. And that it comes from God, that idea of fellowship. We even see that in the Trinity. I'm getting all doctrinal now, but we see, you know, the Trinity, God, obviously, the Godhead, having fellowship there. Thank you so much, Steve and Kelsey, for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure. That website to check out is marymead.com, marymead.com. Find the address and more. We'll be back after this.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Old Rough and Ready died this day, July 9th, 1850. He fought the British in the War of 1812, the Indians in the Black Hawk War, and defeated the Seminole Indians in Florida. But it was his courageous victories in the Mexican War, being greatly outnumbered by Santa Anna's forces, that made him a national hero. His popularity spread like fire, and he was elected America's 12th president. Refusing to be sworn in on the Sabbath, President Zachary Taylor stated, "The only ground of hope for the continuance of our free institutions is in the proper moral and religious training of the children."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. "In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot."
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
The United States is weighing the expansion of its training program in Ukraine, and Ukraine wants it. They want U.S. instruction for its conventional and special operations forces. This article comes from Wall Street Journal through their website, WSJ.com. U.S. and Ukrainian officials are making plans to expand the training of Ukrainian military forces at a training base in the western part of the country, officials said Wednesday. The U.S. is currently training Ukrainian National Guardsmen at the training site about 25 miles from Lviv, Ukraine, members of the National Guard, part of the Ministry of Interior. This could be a good shift, at least in the situation in Ukraine as far as how the U.S. is involved. We could begin to see a good, healthy relationship with Ukraine, with at least training them more and more in special operations. Ukrainian military officials said Wednesday they want to bring their conventional army troops and special operations forces to the training center to run through the course taught by U.S. soldiers from the 173rd Airborne Brigade. We are seeing if the United States begins to invest itself in Ukraine, it will pay dividends. Because the situation in Ukraine is one of vital importance. We haven't done a Ukrainian update in a while, but this is our Ukrainian update today. The situation in Ukraine is of vital importance. Fighting rages on. Ceasefires have collapsed. We need to know where we stand in this. Russia knows where they stand. Does the United States know where it stands on this issue? This training apparently is shared training, according to General Odierno, said that wartime experience meant U.S. forces are learning important lessons from Ukrainians, even as they teach Kiev's forces about basic combat. It is American forces training Ukrainian forces, and it's Ukrainian forces training American forces. Interestingly enough, a Wall Street Journal reporter accompanied the general on his visit to the base. As he toured the training ground, General Odierno told the 173rd soldiers that it was important to learn from Ukrainians how the Russians and separatists were fighting. Now, why would he suggest that? He said, quote, "We haven't faced something like this ourselves for a while. The U.S. is also teaching the Ukrainians how to disarm roadside bombs. The training is based on the kinds of mines being used in eastern Ukraine and on tactics that the U.S. soldiers saw in Iraq and Afghanistan and believe are likely to migrate to Ukraine. Soldiers of the 173rd also have brought lessons learned in Afghanistan and Iraq on battlefield medicine. At the training center, U.S. soldiers played the part of wounded civilians, complete with fake blood, dummy severed limbs, and simulated chest wounds," Staff Sergeant Brian Kokyurba, a battalion senior medic with the 173rd, said. He was teaching the Ukrainians to work with limited supplies, emphasizing that all soldiers need to know how to administer first aid. He said in recent weeks, the units he has trained have quickly improved as medics. We've talked about how the Ukrainian people are very educated, very able, very capable people. And if we invest ourselves as a nation into Ukraine, we're going to see that pay dividends. We will. How can we do that? We could train troops like we're doing now. We could go ahead and increase aid. We could aid them in their fight. It's not a fight that will go away anytime soon, and they need that aid. We want to give Greece aid, but Ukraine may be the place in Europe we need to focus. We need to focus our efforts right now. You know, Jesus said an interesting thing about debt. And Scripture says this, you know, you are a... Well, debt, first of all, we know, is not necessarily of what God wants us to be. He doesn't necessarily want us to be a debtor. He doesn't want us to have that, to have that throat on top of us. Proverbs, of course, says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." We look at Psalms, "The wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives." You realize that Jesus said something about debt when he said that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You realize Jesus was saying something about death there? Or debt, I'm sorry. Because the borrower is the lender's slave. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. You think our nation may be enslaved by wealth and make that and have that be our master right now? Be enslaved by debt and have that be our master right now? Because if you take Scripture in context, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave, Proverbs verse 22, and then Jesus, of course, saying, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Is our debt making wealth our master and not God? And are we facing this as a nation? For Greece, they have most certainly become a slave to their debt. Do we need to be focusing on them? Or do we need to be focusing on a nation that is embroiled in a fight for its existence and is being imposed on? That is what America is about, if it is still. And we need to remember that. That's the thought that I have going with you this morning. And, you know, if we're looking at the rest of this article, it leaves a tone, and this is the Wall Street Journal. The Sergeant Brian Kukureba, is a battalion senior medic who is training Ukrainians, said, quote, "They have come a long way. I would fight with any of them. I would let any of them treat me." General Odierno asked one Ukrainian medic if he was going to be a doctor one day, and he said, no, I am going to be infantry. It is the same thing, General Odierno quipped. They are eager, they are willing, and they are ready to fight, and they are going to be a key ally if we continue to invest, and we need to invest in Ukraine. We're learning much about war just simply by training them. We are being trained, our forces, and we need to learn. I think that there can be much to be learned from Ukraine. That wraps up the program for today. Mike Levin's here saying, no matter what happens, no matter what headlines may come, no matter what news may fall on the desk, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over all. He will be the only Lord ever. For our nation today, yesterday, and in the future. And we need to turn to Him. He is going to be Lord over all one day. The sooner we turn, the sooner we will see change.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.